Hi everyone, I'm here with Stephen Downs, the senior researcher at the National Research Council in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. And today we're going to be talking a bit about open education resources. So welcome, Stephen.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Thank you once again for agreeing to speak with me today. You are the senior researcher for the National Research Council in Canada. Can you start off by telling us a bit about that and what exactly you do in your position there?
Sure. Well, I'm one of about 1,700 researchers at NRC. We're scattered across the country. I'm based, as you said, in Moncton, New Brunswick, here in Canada. My job as a researcher is pretty open-ended and pretty self-defined, but it involves writing papers, giving talks, writing and testing software, getting involved in projects, and that sort of thing. I specialize in e-learning and related issues, so I look at the delivery of learning online, the use of the internet to support learning, and related issues and technologies.
Great, that sounds like a really interesting position. How
is
it that, how is it that you first became interested in open education?
Well, I think I've been interested in open education almost all of my life. I remember back when I first started university, and this is after being out in the world to work for a number of years because I didn't have any money for an education. My first day, first week, I guess, at university, I joined the student newspaper, and my first article in the student newspaper was on government funding for education. And ever since then, those sorts of issues have been of interest to me. You know, I look back at my own history and how much time I spent outside the education system working for a chance to be able to get the opportunity. And it seems to me that people should have that opportunity.
Right, great. Okay, well, do you have any ongoing or future projects that are related to open education that you can tell us about?
Well, one thing I'm doing right now with George Siemens, who's another Canadian, he works for the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg. We've got a course called Connectivism and Connective Knowledge that we're offering online, and we're offering it as an open course. And what we're doing is we're not simply offering course materials the way OpenCourseWare might do or some of these other open education projects, but we're actually offering open course delivery. And what that means is that while George and I are working on delivering this course, we've opened up the process and anybody else who wants to help can do that, and actually the community as a whole is delivering the course to itself. So I think this is a significant project.
Yeah, it does sound like it. Wow. Is there a place online where we can find out more information about that, actually?
Yeah, sure. Go to connect.downs.ca, and all the links are there for you. We've got about 2,200 people enrolled in the course and doing things now, so it's a bit of a madhouse, but it's a lot of fun.
Okay, great. We'll check that out. There's really been a lot happening lately as far as open education initiatives. And for example, the MIT OpenCourseWare has 1,800 courses. Rice Connections has over 6,000 modules. And many others are increasing their open education projects rapidly. Why do you think all of this is happening right now?
Well, I mean, it's happening as a result of a sustained campaign by activists in order to make it happen. That's why it's happening. The internet makes it possible, right? The internet eliminates the cost of distribution of course materials. It doesn't eliminate it, but it makes it almost zero. And between the onset of the internet in the 80s, early 90s, and now, there has been a lot of foot dragging on the part of publishers and on the part of academic institutions. And what has happened during that time is that a large number of people have kept up sustained effort in this direction. And you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of people. It's everyone from Larry Lessig, who came up with Creative Commons, to John Dalen, and also the people behind MIT's Open Courseware, and David Wiley with his Open Course and his Open Publishing Initiative, and Open Archives Initiative, and people like Peter Suber and Stephen Hernad working on that side of things. Just this huge community, and they have finally begun to have some success, and having success at the institutional level, because the argument is inescapable. And the argument is the people who pay for these resources ought to have access to them. And how can you reject that argument in any serious way? So, what has delayed it now has just been the entrenched interests of publishers and other people who benefit from closed materials, dragging their heels and getting governments to drag their heels. It's like the NIH policy, the Health Informatics in the United States. There was a mandate to open up that data. Now there's an ongoing lobbying campaign and even a bill in progress to close that up again because the publisher want to make their money on it.
Right, that makes sense. Okay, well, also, one of the things that you discuss in your writings is about the sustainability of these initiatives is the idea of decentralization and the producer-consumer model. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. When we talk about open educational resources, our first instinct is to think about formally published resources or formal courses that take a lot of time, a lot of money to prepare. A book will take a lot of time and money to write and to publish. A course, especially an online course, if it's done in what we might call traditional online learning, where you write all the modules first and get all the content together and organize it all, that's expensive. And so when we talk about making these kind of resources available for free to people so that they can use however they want, we get into the problem of how to pay for the creation of these resources. And the proposition that I put forward in my paper to OECD and in other places is that the production of these resources ought to be distributed. That is to say, that the community as a whole can contribute to the production of these resources, and that drops down the production costs to almost nothing. And we've seen on the internet now all kinds of what they call, it's kind of an ugly term, user-generated content. But what that is the internet community as a whole creating learning content. And the trick, I think, to sustainable open education is to tap into this, to tap into the capacity of the educational community to produce its own resources for itself.
Okay. Well, and I also wanted to ask you about, do you think that conflicts between open licenses such as copyleft, GFDL, and Creative Commons share alike, for example, will pose a significant challenge for open education resources going forward?
I'm one of the few people arguing that no, they won't.
Okay.
and it's funny because that came up just recently. It was that online eFest conference, which is held every year in New Zealand. And Lee Blackhall, who's a major open content advocate down in New Zealand, raised a similar question with respect to this connectivism course that I was talking about. And my response to him was to say something along the lines of, look, none of the license prevents your students from going to these resources wherever they happen to be and looking at them. Right? The licensing comes into effect, it becomes a problem only if you want to take these resources from where they're sitting, bring them back, and start bundling them with something you're doing. But if you just leave the resources where they are, there's no problem. And the distributed model of course development also applies to the distributed model of course delivery. And if you just let the materials lie wherever they are, and have people go out and look at them wherever they are, have your course, in other words, distributed across the internet, then licensing is not an issue. Everybody can have whatever license they want.
Okay. Well, why do you think that it's important to promote open education?
Well, I think it's a simple matter of social justice, personally. It's important to, right? Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of arguments you can come up with, right? You can come up with the economic argument, an educated population is a more productive population. You can come up with the health argument, an educated population is a healthier population. You can come up with a utilitarian kind of argument, an education population is a happier population. For me, it boils down to a social justice argument, and the social justice argument in turn is based on a, if you will, something like viability of society kind of arguments. The social justice argument is that everybody ought to have an inherent right to a more, you know, to the fruits, if you will, of civilization, that we are all inheritors of a common cultural heritage, that each person has the right to the sum of human knowledge as much as anyone else. And with very few conditions, this inheritance is not owned by anybody. It's a common heritage. And the reason why I say that is because humanity needs all of its people in order to learn things, to know things, to grow, and to survive. We can't get by on a subset. You pick the 10,000 smartest people in the world, that's not enough to solve all of the problems that face us. The problems of survival in the world, in the universe, are massive and global. And so we need every single human functioning to the greatest capacity. We are strongest when each human contributes to the utmost of their capacity, to the utmost of their autonomy, to the common knowledge. And so that's why I think we should support open education.
Okay, great. Well, have you anything else that you'd like to tack on about open education, your own experiences that maybe I didn't ask you?
Well, the main thing I would say is, and I think this is important, you can't give people open education, just like you can't give people freedom. When you have the idea that this is something that we give to somebody else, when you have the idea that this is like charity or something like that, then you have exactly the wrong understanding, because you've created this position where you are in a position of power and they are in the position of supplicant. People have to accomplish their education on their own, just as they have to accomplish their freedom on their own. And they have to accomplish their education by creating their own education. The whole point of open education is not we will deliver education to the masses, but rather to change that equation so that we say something like, people will be able to create their own education for themselves. And that's where the ultimate empowerment of open education comes into play.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you very much. This was really wonderful. I know that I got a lot out of it, and I know that the students will as well. So thank you once again, Stephen, for speaking with me today.
Oh, you're very welcome. And if you can send me the audio recording, I'd appreciate that. So
yes. I
post it openly
will.
On the web. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.
Thanks. You too.
Okay.